quiet and settle down now. And the sheep part was Sharon to put me up to that because she said, I dare you to make a sheep sound. So, I mean, I do some things on my own, but the good news is there's no test today, so you can just follow right along and not have to take any notes. If you have your scriptures, would you turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter? We're going to look at verses 10 through 17. I was working shift work or something, but this has to do with the armor of God. And I know, Raymond, if you want to jump in at any time and explain things to me. So, Sharon, I got tickled this morning because evidently, how many did you see Raymond do the armor of God? Is that all? Okay. Well, anyway, they dressed him up and he didn't have a helmet, so they put a colander on top of his head for the helmet. And of all things, this morning, Sharon was working on stuff for the youth group tonight, and she had a colander out. Well, she was working on Brenda's recipe. I'm sorry for the barbecue. Anyway, Sharon had a colander as I was talking about this and everything, so we'll give you a break on that. Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for the love that you give to us. We thank you, Father, for the guidance that you provide for us. Father, just allow us right now this time to look at your word, Father, to share and to care with what's going on here, to prepare too for life ahead. Your word doesn't go out void. So, Father, I just pray you would be with me that I can help communicate what's going on here. Allow me to use your words and allow me, Father, to minister to the church as we need to be. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you look there, I think it's five times there, it talks about against the evil, the spiritual, the things of the world. So it tells us that there's stuff going on out there. Paul wrote in the first six chapters there about instructions to the church. They were undergoing persecution. They were undergoing things that he put in there to show them how to live their lives with their family and everything like that. But he puts things into perspective so that people could understand it, what's going on. He talks about the full armor of God. The people out there saw the Roman soldiers, and he correlates these armors, things that we have, the six things we have, to what was going on. The Roman soldier wore a 6-inch leather belt around his midsection, and they wore long robes. The belt was around there, and if they had to go move or do something quick, they would take the robe and tuck it into their belt so they could take off. So when the people saw a Roman soldier with his belt, with his robe tucked in there, he was on a mission. He was going someplace. He also kept his sword there into his belt. Also, sometimes they would wear the belt on the side so he could put his quiver in there and he could have his arrows and everything for that. Also, the belt was used to designate that he was a warrior. There was awards put on there. I mean, like in the Army, you wore ribbons, right, J.D., to show where you'd been, where you'd served and everything like that. Many of you probably right now can see the Vietnam ribbon on a lot of people's trucks and stuff like that. The belt of truth is what we're supposed to put on there. Satan uses this lies to sound like the truth, but the only believers have, but the believers have God's truth, which can defect the Satan's lies. And in Isaiah 11:5, it says about righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. In 1 John 4:4, it tells us because the belt is around us to protect us, the midsection and everything. If you know, in life, being with the EMS and stuff like that, they taught us that anything above the navel will kill you. So the belt was put around the midsection to gird up to kind of protect that part. The belt protects, the belt of truth protects us in the fact that 1 John 4:4 tells us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It talks about against all this stuff in here that's going to be happening, that's happening now, and we need to prepare for it. The full armor of God that God has there is for us to take and put on. He doesn't give it. He doesn't put this on to us. It's there. We equip ourselves to go into the battle and everything. We take this to all extremes as far as it says here that the Satan, the battle, the belt of truth is what we have around us because Satan tries to lie to us and everything. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and he used the truth. He used the scriptures to defeat the enemy. So we need to be able to defeat the enemy by using the truth. No armor, in when you look at these different things of the armor, is there's no armor for our backside. We're always on the protection of us and everything. God doesn't want deserters. He doesn't want people to turn and go the other way. And that's the way the Roman soldiers, their backside was accidentally open because if they left, they could be hurt with that and everything. In the second part of the armor is, it talks about here that we are for to put on the full armor so on the day of the coming, stand your ground. Breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ is he has all our sin. In 1 Corinthians, you are in Christ. He gives us his righteousness to replace sin. Ephesians 4:24, the new self is to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The breastplate is to protect our hearts. Wow. You know, you can lose other parts of organs and stuff like that. I mean, even you can have part of your brain gone with accidents or different things have happened with gunshots or whatever, and your body will still go on. But when your heart is messed up, it's a done deal. The breastplate of righteousness is there so we protect our hearts. Protect our hearts that we serve God, that we take care of the things that we need to do for him. It says, be like God in our righteousness and holiness, found in Romans 7:15 through 19. Instead of trying to live better, we need to love better. We need to take our heart and use it to love more and use what God gives us and provides for us to be able to help others, to save ourselves too. In the next thing we have is the footwear. It says that the sandals that the Romans wore were, well, of course, they had a shield, of course, on there to keep from getting shot with arrows and stuff like that. The sandals that they wore were heavy leather, and it says they were like hobnail on the bottom, because it says in here that we're supposed to stand firm against the enemy, that we're supposed to stand firm against the spiritual powers. If you have barefooted, you can't do much. Our armies don't walk on barefoot. They have all this equipment and weapons and everything like that, but the feet are the thing that moves the army, right, JD? If your feet are messed up, you're not going to be effective. So it tells us here that we need to put on the footwear, readiness before we can stand your ground. Ephesians 2:14 tells us that he himself is our peace. Matthew 6:25 says, don't worry, because if we don't have the peace of Christ, it says in here we're not to worry about things, because if we worry, we're taking place of our service in what the peace that Christ gives to us. It says in Matthew 6:25, don't worry about our food or clothes, don't worry to that don't accomplish anything, that we need to keep our minds on Christ and what needs to be done for him. 1 Peter 5:15, in the piece of the footwear that we have, it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Philippians 4:19, the God of peace will be with you. So to know that we have the footwear of the peace and everything that is our foundation to start with, we can do what needs to be done for him. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep you in perfect peace, those whose mind is stayed on you because of his trust in God. First fruits of the Spirit. If you remember the, what is there, 9 of them? 11 of them? Fruits of the Spirit. One of them is peace, patience, kindness, and self-control. So peace is in there. So peace is part of our outgoing. Peace is part of our life. Peace is part of the fruits of the Spirit that we have. The Romans had a shield with them, and the shield was about, well, I'm guessing these guys, how tall were you, Ray, in the skit? 6 foot? 6'5"? Anyway, the shield protected them from like their eyes clear down to their knees and everything. And it says here that it was sitting there to, the enemy could actually shoot arrows at you and stuff. So they ended up taking a wood shield, covered it with animal skins, and soaked it, because sometimes they, it says here that the flaming arrows, they can, and these take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. So the heart that we need to protect is the thing that we need to keep from the arrows of life from hitting us. Not only do we have the breastplate, now we have the shield. Because the shield was used, they would hold it up to keep arrows from coming in on the top of them, and they could keep it in front. But and also they would get together and kind of interlock the shield so that they had protection over the top of them and everything. No matter the attack, God quenches all the flaming darts that come against us. The first dart that the devil will put out is the dart of denial. He's going to try to separate us from God. The arrows, of course, could go through the heart and everything like that, but they also had darts. They would dip in poison and stuff like that, that once they hit you, it would spread. You die a very horrible, painful death, which I'm guessing the arrow would be the same way too, but the darts would get in too close to you. They'd have to get in and you know, break the skin and everything like that. But it says here, Christ will put out all the flaming darts. Jesus is our shield of faith. Matthew 4:3-4, man shall live by bread alone. Above all, take up the shield of faith. Faith is useless unless it's at work. We can have all the faith in the world, but basically faith is a verb. And so we need to keep our faith working and everything like that. In the scriptures, it talks about the darts that of denial, the things that happen to us that the devil tries to get in and do the worry or whatever like that. Rhema is a word of the scripture here. It says, well, we're to take up the sword of the Spirit, but the Rhema is actually like a little dagger, because the Roman soldiers had like a 4 to 6 inch knife that they kept in that belt for hand-to-hand combat, for in close like that and everything, that they could find the weak spot or something like that in the armor and get through that. And so the Rhema is basically the words of the scripture that we use to put out those darts. We have the scripture, that the whole Bible, the Word of God, but also in that, what he says here is we're supposed to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the small parts, that when we get the individual things that happen to us, it's not the whole coverage of the Bible. We have to know the whole, we knew that need the whole thing, but in the Bible, there are remedies, there are things for the different things that the devil tries to do with to hurt us. The helmet that they had, now, in life, I've worn different helmets. You know, you guys wear different hats, hard hats at work. When I worked at the slaughterhouse, I had to wear a cap to what they call a scalp laceration cap to keep your head from getting cut or whatever like that. Football helmets, motorcycle helmets, army helmets. It would be pretty tough to watch the Green Bay play without helmets on, right, Pat? So there's a purpose for that, to protect your mind. But the area, the arena of our minds, so that we aren't attacked by that. We're supposed to put on the helmet of salvation to protect us. So many our sins will start with an idea. Communism started with an idea and was fleshed out into what had happened. Hitler's, all those terrible things he did started with an idea and went on from there. We're to be protected from ideas or things that can happen. The helmet of salvation is to protect our mind so that things don't get in our mind and then get into our hearts. Basically, sin is a cancer. And once it's in there, it goes everywhere. When I had my surgery and stuff, they came back and they told me how many lymph glands that I had that were around my cancer that were infected, and gave me my percentage of my chances of survival and everything without chemotherapy. So the flaming darts, the things that can get into our mind or whatever, are we're protected from. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, "But those who are called by both Jew and Greeks, Christian, is the power of God and the wisdom from God." We take the wisdom of God as our helmet of salvation to protect us. Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is what has all the answers to the world here like that. And in taking these thoughts and everything in our helmet, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, we come to the point that we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So that thought that the devil throws in there before we take the helmet of salvation from it getting there, we take the wisdom of Christ to know that every thought is captive to Christ, that we don't, someone cuts us off in traffic or something happens, we don't, you know, go off half-cocked or whatever like that. In James 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." 1 Thessalonians 5:8. "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober." Now, in the scripture, it says sober. It's not talking about us being not being drunk, but it talks about for being not being like the rest of the world, not like being led away with the things that they do and everything. "Putting on the faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." And this is the only other place in the scripture where they actually put the breastplate and the helmet together. We have the belt, the breastplate, the foot gear, the shield, and the helmet. These are all defensive weapons. These are all defensive things to keep from getting things to us. The sword that we have is the only offensive thing that we have. That we use this as the way to fight against Satan when he tries to get in our head and everything like that, that we can actually use the different scriptures and everything that we have to protect us. There's a war out there. And whether you want to believe it or not, you're in the war. You're actually taking place in the battle of each day. Sword of the Spirit, like it said a while ago, was a Darius is the thing that was called like a 6 to 8 inch dagger that was used in the hand-to-hand combat. Logos is the word of the Bible, whereas the Darius is what we talk about. The Rama is the actual scriptures we use to protect ourselves. In Hebrews 4:12, it tells us the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So the thing that we use is in the sword here that talks about, we're not just waving around a big old 6-foot sword, but we're using the things that put out the individual sins that we know from using from the Bible for scripture. The word of God, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." And the thing about the sword of the Spirit of God is it doesn't get dull. Sharon can tell you, because of the years I worked back in slaughterhouse and stuff, that I keep my knife sharp. I work on them and stuff like that. People, when I was at work or stuff like that, would come and say, give me your knife, because they knew it was sharp, because it takes care, it takes work. God's work, God's word of the sword of the Spirit is always sharp. It's always going to do its job. It's not going to be dull and not be ineffective. We're supposed to live as victors, not as victims. God gives us the shields, the different things, the headgear, the breastplate, the waist, the footing on the bottom of our feet to do what we need to do, to do what we need to do to stand and be victorious. And I don't know about you, but this world's getting tougher all the time on different things like that. We need to know the truth. It's, you know, as we see back when we talked about the first thing the devil does is try to deceive, but we can see back in the Garden of Eden when he twisted the words and got Eve to sin, and her and Adam too. The devil even tried to get Jesus. After Jesus was baptized, after he was fasted for 40 days, you know, the Spirit took him out into the wilderness, and the devil tried three different times, three different ways to end up getting Jesus tempted so that he wouldn't be the man of God, so he wouldn't be able to go to the cross for us because he had sinned. And Jesus was able to use Scripture. He used that little Darius of the dagger we talked about a while ago, that or the Rama, that he used Scripture to put the devil in his place. When he told him, you know, 40 days without fasting, I mean, 40 days of fasting, when, you know, when the devil told him, said, hey, you know, if you're God, you can turn this bread into these stones into bread. And Jesus answered back, as found in Deuteronomy. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but only by the word of God. He said, it is written. So when the devil comes after you and tries to get through your armor, be able to use the Scripture to put that away from that. Matthew 4:10. You shall love the Lord your God and serve him only. We're in the battle. You're in the battle. The gear is there. The armor is there to protect us, and we need to put it on. We need to keep it on. We need to be able to share and protect others too, for us that's concerned. Put on the armor of God, because every minute of every day, the devil's out there. And the reason you're getting attacked is because you're a Christian. The reason you're getting attacked is because you believe. He wants to do whatever he can to ruin your testimony, to ruin your witness, to ruin whatever he can to make it to ruin you. Put on the full armor of God. And the full armor of God is Jesus. Put him on and be protected for the time to come. JD?